We are now beginning to start our study in the book of Hebrews, and this is part one. And as we study together, we want to be in prayer and look to the Holy Spirit to guide us, lead us, and direct us in God's Word. So the first thing that we always do is to begin our study in prayer. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you so much that you give us the privilege to learn of you, to know you more through your word. And as we begin another study from your book, from your very words, I ask, Father, that you teach us through your Holy Spirit. Because, Father, we cannot learn of you without the Spirit. And I pray now that the Holy Spirit will teach, guide, and direct us as we study your word. And Father, I do pray that each and everything will just bring you honor and glory. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we always start our studies in our precept study, we start by doing what we call an overview. Now, in the method of precept, we have learned in the past there are three basic things that we need to do as we look at God's Word. First, we want to look at the Word and receive it through the entire book that we're studying. And so when we begin our study, we're looking at what is called an overview. And so we see through an overview the big picture. And then we want to understand. So we have to interpret the word. And to interpret the word, we have to look to the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding and interpretation. And then as we have looked at the word and we have interpreted the word, then we want to apply it to our lives. Because it's no good if we do not apply it and live it. So that's what we're going to do. This first lesson is do an overview. Your lesson for the week was to read the entire book of Hebrews. And that gives a big picture or an overview of what the book of Hebrews is about. So, as we begin, what kind then of biblical literature is Hebrews? And we learn that it is a letter or an epistle that was written by God Himself, and it was related to the person, the author, to pen it down, that we may be able to read and to understand God's Word. Now, who was the author of Hebrews? We have to look at Scripture in order to understand who he was. Let's first look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Because this is going to describe the author, the person that wrote Hebrews, says, how will we, referring to the author and those that he's writing to, escape if we neglect so great a salvation after it was at first spoken through the Lord? It was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So this author was one who heard about salvation, heard about Jesus Christ, he heard the good news, and he believed. He was one that knew the Old Testament, and that might indicate to us that he was Jewish. Now, let's see what else tells us something about the author. Let's look at chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we, referring to himself, who have believed, enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So the author then heard the good news. He believed it. He knew the Old Testament, indicating that he too was a Jew. Now, we have to read some more of the scripture to see this author, who he was. Let's go to the 13th chapter of Hebrews, verses 18 through 19. And starting with verse 18, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. And then go down and look at verse 22 through 25. But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Take notice that our son Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I will see you. Greet all of your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. So, the writer then, he is saying that that he needs prayer. He needs your prayers. And he is saying that he, along with the church, has a good conscience, desiring to conduct himself and those honorably in all things. And also, he is one that urges you, the church, that the born-again Christians, all the more to do this, that he might be restored to you. Because he, according to the reading, is not with them, of those that he's writing to. And we'll see in a few minutes who these recipients are. And then he said he is urging them to bear the word, this word that he is writing, which is an exhortation, because he has written it to them. And so he also mentions his, he says, our brother Timothy. So he is one that knows Timothy. And he said that he may be coming soon, and he, the writer, will see you. And then he also mentions there are other leaders with him that are from Italy. So this gives us an idea of who he is, but the scripture doesn't give us a name. It just tells us some things about him that helps us to know that he is a Hebrew, he is a Jew, and that he is concerned for the church, for the recipients that he's writing to. So the next thing we want to do is to see what the reason that he writes. Why is he writing? Why is it necessary for him to write this letter? Now, if you turn back to chapter 13, verse 22, again, he says, "But I, the author, urge you, the recipient, brethren, to bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly." So he is saying here that his reason for writing is an urging, an appeal for them, these that he's writing to, we'll see in a minute who they are, to bear with him, the writer, an exhortation, an encouragement. He is saying, I need you, as the ones I'm writing to help me to give an exhortation, an encouragement to those, to the ones that need to hear the word. Now then, who did he write to? They would be the recipients. Who were these people? And how do we see that the text itself describes them? Look back at chapter 3, verse 1. Let's go back to 3:1, and we're going to begin to understand who he's writing to. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. So he's writing to holy brethren that are partakers of a heavenly calling. They are partakers of their calling into salvation. And that is part of it. Now look at chapter 3, verse 12. And let's read that and we'll see what it says. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. So what he is saying here, again, he is addressing them as brethren. Let's look at 10:19 and see else, what else he is addressing them in 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. And again, we see that the author is referring to those he's writing to as brethren. Now, let's look at chapter 13, 22. 13:22. But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. See, again, he is referring to them as his brethren, as his brothers. Now, let's look at chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, and see how that he addresses them. 5, verse 11 through 14. Considering him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So here we see in these verses, he says he's speaking to the recipients as those that have become dull of hearing. And he also said that they ought to have been teachers by this time, but they were still needing teaching on the elementary things or on the basic principles of the Word of God. They needed milk and not solid food. And they were still infants. In other words, they were still children in the Word of God, and they had not become mature yet. Now then, let's look at chapter 6, 9 through 10. And again, we see who these recipients are. He says, but beloved, we have convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in ministered and in having ministered and is still ministering to the saints. So they are saved, they are beloved believers, that there is evidence of that, of their salvation by their work and their love and ministering and serving the saints. Now let's look at 10:32, and we'll see again how that he is speaking to the recipients. And the word says, 10:32, but remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering. So it's the ones that have been under great conflict and great suffering. Also, they had been made public spectacles, and they became sharers or partners with those who were so treated, and they showed sympathy, compassion to prisoners, and they accepted joyfully the plundering of their property, and they knew they had a better possession and a lasting, abiding one. Now look at 12:4 and 12:5, and we'll see who these recipients are. 12:4, you, the recipients, have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. So, in 12:4, these recipients had not yet resisted sin to the point of shedding blood. And then he refers to them as the forgetting or forgotten the exhortation about discipline for sons. And then go to 13:9. And let's see how he speaks of the recipients. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. So they were exposed to varied and strange teachings. So the purpose then of this book is in 13:22. It's an encouragement. It's an exhortation. It's an urging. So, now then we want to look at who the book of Hebrews is about and why the author wrote what he did. First, we know as we read through and got a full picture that it's about Jesus. Jesus, our high priest. And we learn as we went through that Jesus brought a better covenant. And his blood cleansed our conscience. It took away our sins. And Jesus brought eternal salvation. Now, these words were written long, long time ago to a group of Jewish believers. That's who these recipients were. They were Jewish believers who had not yet matured as they should have. And they had suffered the loss of some things and had taken care of those in prison. But they had not matured to where they should have been. And they had need of endurance. Therefore, we look at this letter of Hebrews for the church. That means for every believer now, at this particular time. It was written not only to these Hebrew believers, but all believers throughout mankind, throughout God's plan that he has. And it's a letter that can strengthen and gives hope to all believers. And we're going to learn it's a book that can lead us to spiritual maturity. And as we begin to study this book of Hebrews, we need to think about how that the Word of God, this exhortation, this encouragement, can help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this first part today, lesson one, is, as we said earlier, just an overview. And it's the beginning of us understanding of what the author wrote this book for. It was written by the very hand, the finger of God. And it was given to the author, this person that we don't know by name. He wrote it down. We know that he was a believer, and we know that he was following the will of God. So let us be in prayer as we study through this wonderful Word of God in the next 10 weeks. This is a study. The first part of Hebrews is 11 weeks. Today was lesson 1. So let us be in prayer as we go through this study, that we may truly give God all the praise and all the honor, and that we will ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, guide us, and direct us, that we may grow in His grace and knowledge and become mature believers in the Word of God, and that we may take the Word and share it with many that are in this world that maybe have never heard the Word, or those that have heard the Word but never believed, that they may know that they can be saved by Jesus. Only Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So let us close now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your precious Word. We praise you and give you all the honor and glory, because we know that even there was an author that you give the Word to write it down, that it's your Word, your truth. And I just pray now for each one that is coming to study your Word. May each of us grow in your grace and knowledge and apply it to our lives, Father. I ask that you would help me as the leader. The teacher is the Holy Spirit. And I pray as the leader of this study that he, the Holy Spirit, will give me the knowledge and wisdom and guide me to proclaim your Word, your truths, that you will be glorified, Father. It's all about you. It's all about Jesus. And I thank you now, and I ask it in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.